We read it. Are you ready? Boop, boop, boop. I am so excited for this. I'm excited to record today. I'm hyped, man. I'm ready.
Yo, started with the, are you ready?
Welcome to the Thirst World Problems Podcast, where we talk about drinks, current events, music, and more. Now, here's your host, Nick Dugal, and his panel of experts, B, Bell, and the infamous Doc.
This is Bell coming at you behind the mic on Thirst World Problems, and we're here for another episode. I got my man B.
Fuck, I'm so ready for the show today.
My man Nick.
I'm even more ready for the show today. I bought a beard straightener.
I'm growing a beard straightener.
Yeah, it straightens my beard out. So, you know, like a hair straightener, but it's for beards.
So you're gonna have like a long, like Fu Manchu type beard?
No, I'm growing my beard back how I used to have it. I'm growing it back.
Just looks the same as I've ever seen it.
No, man, I'm growing it back. It's gonna be nice. I'm gonna have a nice beard straightener. Use it every morning.
What is it, like a comb? Is it hot? Like
what
is
it? Yeah, it's like a hot comb.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you burned yourself using it yet?
No. I've never used it yet because my beard is not long enough yet. I'm excited, man. Stop hating, man. I'm excited.
I'm asking questions. I'm curious here.
It's the summer. We got some Ciroc watermelon, summer watermelon. We got some Cool Runnings, fucking pineapple. They spelled banana wrong on here. Anana, whatever that shit is.
Anana is pineapple in French.
Let's do it. Whatever, man. Why is it French, man? It's Jamaican soda.
But it's being sold in Canada, so you know you have to have your both languages, bilingual rule here.
That's not a true Caribbean drink because one, it would never have the ingredients. Two, it would never have a nutrition fact.
How nutritious can sugar water be?
Let's put it that way. Let's get it, man. I'm ready.
I want to go back to this beard. Is a beard a summer look? Does that get warm on you in the summer? Like especially the weather we've been having lately, or
no? I've had that beard for 3 years and I got rid of it and growing it back. No, it doesn't. It doesn't get hot. The nice thing about it is, you can fucking eat whatever you want and you don't have a double chin. No one will ever see you. That's the best part.
Camouflage. I like it.
Camouflage.
So you guys watch any soccer over this last week?
Like the Women's World Cup?
Women's World Cup, yeah.
I saw bits and pieces of it. How about you guys?
I saw just the parting at the end. That was actually pretty cool.
The parting in the end, yeah. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, I just listened to, what's her name? Rubino's speech. Megan, right? It's Megan?
Megan, yeah.
Yep. Her speech of it is actually pretty solid. Yeah. She addressed a lot of things. And
I mean, actually pretty. Why do you have to say that?
Because most sports speeches aren't very motivating or topical even.
I saw on Instagram, it was like Bleacher Report or something comparing her to Muhammad Ali. I thought that was a little far-fetched, but I think that's getting a little ridiculous.
Well, that's a bit of a stretch. I mean, if you want to say maybe a modern day version where everything's a little bit softer.
Guy, you cannot, no one could ever compare to Muhammad Ali.
Well, I'm saying the modern day wouldn't compare to the olden days.
There's two guys that you cannot, three guys that you can't compare. Jackie Robinson, Bill Russell, and Muhammad Ali. You cannot compare those three guys. No one could ever do what those three guys
did. Okay, so Jackie broke the color barrier. Muhammad stood up to
Muhammad stood up to government, basically didn't want to go to if you got told you're going to the army, you're going to the army. Yeah. This guy's like, fuck that, man.
Well, enlighten me on Russell. Yeah.
Bill Russell's he was part of the whole movement, man, with Malcolm X, Martin Luther King. He was there, man. He has a white wife, right? And he's the one who, you know, people were saying, well, what are you doing? You know, they're, as a basketball player, they're kind of treating him as this, oh, you're just an athlete kind of thing. Yeah. But he used his tool to help change the way people think. Red Auerbach was behind him. You know, he was part of the color barrier with Jackie Robinson and Muhammad Ali. Huge, man. Look it up. There's a documentary on it. You guys would be so shocked on how big of an impact Bill Russell has done in the world of just sports as well as just being humans in general, man. It's amazing. Well,
that's interesting. I didn't really know that much about him. So.
Yeah, man, that's huge. And those three, man, those guys, they they broke barriers, man. And mindset, no one, me, you, Bell, not even yourself, no one can do what those guys have done ever in their life, man.
No, I fully agree with that. I mean, the one thing, there's similarities, right?
Like, and I think that's, I feel like shit now.
I think all they're doing is saying there's similarities between what she's doing now by standing up to the president and talking a little bit about like gay rights, especially, or and feminine rights as well, right?
Well, no, that I think what she did is a great move. She had the podium and she used it for what she thought was right. And I think it's great, like what she's doing. And at the same time, you know, it's I think it helps women's sports because it shows, you know, there are leaders in when it comes to women's sports. One of the big things a lot of people are kind of shooting down on them is like, you know, end of the match, everyone was chanting equal pay. And I think at the same time, you know, I think in human beings, we all want equal pay. Like, I think that's you guys couldn't agree with me on that, right?
Oh, yeah,
as sports athletes, even people in general, people want equal pay. And I'm 100% behind it. But at the same time, I think people need to understand there's so much more when it comes to doing equal pay. So I think, like, I'm gonna for sports, yeah. Right? Like, we're talking about sports here.
We're
yeah.
not talking about
I'm gonna go on both sides of the fence here, just kind of get the conversation going. So, you know, what Nike could have done was, because Nike's one of the main sponsors. Like, Nike only gave like $300K for the sponsor, like very low numbers compared to what you'd see in a men's. Any men's sports.
Oh, yeah, that's pittance for a World Cup. Like, yes, that's a championship.
Exactly. So what Nike could have done was, hey, they could have been like, here, you know, it's 40 mil total. Oh, we'll do 40 mil. We'll make it 80 mil, right?
Holy shit. That's crazy, man.
That'd be a power move by a sponsor to double the pot.
Well, think about this. Think about how good of a look that would be for Nike being, you know, hey, you know what? We believe this should be equal pay. Right? You know, this should be equal pay, and it would be a good look for them at the same time. End of the day, all these companies want a good look, right? You know, that's just how it is. Like, look at Adidas right now. They picked up, people were trying to get Beyonce as for her clothing line, her Blue mm-hmm. Ivy. Adidas picked it up because they believed, they told her, you know, this is what we want you to do what you think is right. You want to make a movement for women. We're all behind it. We're 100% behind it. And Beyonce signed, you know, and all these other companies were just like, okay, you know, we're just going to put some Air Force Ones. We're going to put your name on it kind of thing. And she didn't want that. So, you know, that's a good look at Adidas because they realize, hey, you know what? She makes a big impact. Now, what Nike could have done was they could have made a big impact and said, hey, you know, this is not enough. We should give more because these women train so many years. They train 4 years just to make what? $4 million for the team? That's less than a, you know, that's 4 years gone out of your life. Don't get me wrong. They play in club teams, but how much money are they really making in club teams, right? Now, going on the other side here, one, it has to do with revenue. How much ratings are coming in? How much TV revenue is coming in? When are these games being played? You know, that being said, you know, if you're looking at like the WNBA, like a lot of these players are only getting paid like $40K a year. So how is this happening? Well, you need ticket attendance, right? You need to make that. Yeah, there's sponsors. That's what's giving you, you know, those checks. How much TV revenue are you getting in, right? How are you bringing people in to come and watch? It's kind of like having a bad team going to a great team. How are you doing that? Because obviously the more you're winning, the more people are coming. Look at the Cavs. When LeBron was there, everyone was there. TV, everything. Money was coming in the Cavs. Cleveland was live. Now look at Cleveland. Cleveland's a dead place. Nobody ever goes to Cleveland, right? People barely show up to the games. You know, their team, they don't have any stars. They don't. You know, it's nothing, right? So in the end, I think a lot of people, it's easy for people to say, you know, we need equal pay, but there's so much more into it. You know, if they started, you know, if the WNBA started giving them NBA contracts, WNBA would be out of business.
For sure. And but that, but worse, I think, right? The difference is, though, is the amount of revenue that, like, the males are bringing in if we took a look at the national
But level, why is that happening, though? Why is that happening?
But I don't think, well, one thing is we have to get the numbers there. But I don't think the numbers are as strong. Like, 10 years ago, they were, for sure. But, like, at this point, especially after winning that other World Cup, like, this is the second one that they won.
Right.
Right? I think between that, the gap has closed to where the females, like, that Women's World Cup is bringing in more revenue than before, whereas their salaries hasn't really increased to represent that. So you're right. It might not be equal pay where you're making the same contract as the males who are still bringing in more, I guess, from a revenue standpoint, but the gap has got to start to close in that regard. Would it surprise you if I told you that, first of all, NFL dominates everything? Like, NFL playoffs, I think, were the top rated in all major sports. But
really? Wow.
And then you get into, like, the major sporting events, and the Women's World Cup, I think, was, like, fifth on ratings, like, sandwiched in between, I think, the Clemson-Alabama game, college football championship was higher. Two NBA playoff games were higher. And I don't even think the final was it. I think it was game 5 and game 6. I think game 6 of the might have been the Philly series, but 5 and 6. And then it was the Women's World Cup and then some of the other sports. So, I mean, they're up there for TV attendance and TV ratings, which factors into sponsorship a little bit. But still, like you said, if you're able to buy a sponsorship, like Nike's able to buy a sponsorship for $300K, then that means, and like you said, the trickle down is what, 4 mil to the actual players? That seems like a crazy discrepancy between what the males are doing, who just got knocked out in the Gold Cup.
Yeah, like it's the thing, it's all publicity, right? Like, everyone knows on the guys' soccer team, well, not maybe everyone, but like Jose Altidore, he's their top player for Toronto FC. People know him if you're a big soccer fan, right? People know all these soccer players. And why is that? It's because they're getting televised all the time. So how are you doing this to, you need to market these players more, female players more, in order to get people to come see it. Why isn't there women's, like for example, like last night, I have the Man United TV channel, right?
Okay.
I was going through it and there was a women's Man United women's soccer game playing. In attendance, there was
I like how you said I have it, not I subscribe to it.
I have it.
That's actually funny. That's a funny, all the viewers just read between the lines there.
I have it. Little hidden message there.
Little hidden message.
Yeah.
Like a narc over here. Man. Keep
that was,
quiet.
That
man.
Was a funny one. So all I can imagine is that box in front of your TV where you get all that free shit.
And in attendance, there was probably like 200 people. Right?
Fair enough.
So at the same time, when you're trying to like, you know, hey, this game's going to be televised. If there's only 200 people in attendance, they're going to go, okay, well, this is not a good look for us, right? It's like if you go to any event and you'll never see them pan to the empty crowd. They're always just going to pan to the people that it looks busy, right? Because they don't want to show, hey, this crowd's actually really empty. So I think that's one of the things that people don't see, you know? Yeah, I'm pretty sure everyone would be down to, you know, if it happens, I'm all for it. I want that. Like, more, if there's more female sports on TV being pushed, I'm all for it because, one, it's going to help all these girls.
Would you watch it the same way, though?
I'd watch it. Oh, yeah. If you're a sports fan, you'd watch it the same.
So, see, this is a thing to me that I think. So, I used to have a professor who, like, he told us how much and what the wage difference is between female professors and male professors in university. Pretty much in Canada, it's about very similar. The male professors get paid about 2% more in salary than the female professors do. And at any point, because, like, it's a union. It's a unionized job. You know, you have agreements and whatnot. At any time, the males could give up 1% of their pay, and then you're equal, right? You're getting paid equal.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't do it. right? Mm-hmm. But and that's somewhere where the gap's obviously way closer. 2% is a lot less than, you know, 40K versus starting 3 mil in the NBA, for example, right? Mm-hmm. But I think one thing that gets lost for sports is, like, you say you would definitely watch the same way. I don't know, like, you know, we could say that kind of in looking at it, obviously, and that would be amazing if we could get to that point. But I think the one big thing is it's just athleticism and how the game's played. Like, if I'm watching an NBA game, I know at any time, you know, there could be a lob thrown and, you know, LeBron brings down like a between the legs dunk out of nowhere. There's a lot of, like, you can't expect that. You know what I mean? In women's basketball, for example. And that's not a slant against it. You can't tell me that you can see that in it, because you can't, man. It's just not like that, right? The NBA game, for example, I'm just using NBA because I don't really watch soccer too much. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure it's the same thing as soccer. The reason that guy gets talked about the most that you said is because so many more people watch, because his skill level, I think, is a little bit higher because of it. He's shown more for sure, but he's also, you know, like, for example, LeBron James or Kevin Durant or whoever are also, you know, they're probably higher level athletic athletes, right? And those, you know, that ability to shoot or the ability to, you know, dunk every single time, you don't know what's coming, right? An NBA player could drive to the rim, you think it's a layup, and all of a sudden he slams it backwards on a guy's head, right? There's different things like that you can't expect, and I think that spontaneity. That you sometimes can't get. And if I had to weigh two things, like, I've watched, like, the women's, like, WNBA finals before, like, a couple games here and there. But if both were on, like, the NBA game is going to be more exciting to me, because I just think there's more for that can happen that you don't think will happen. And I think, and it's definitely fine if you guys, you know, would watch either or. I just don't, you guys being that big basketball fans, I don't know if that's actually the case.
I think in general, people would just target towards the men's, right? But I mean, like, if we're comparing the two, yeah, it's a huge difference. But what
like, I'm, the game is a huge difference.
But what I'm trying to get is the women's game has evolved so much.
Oh, for sure.
It's been great. But what I'm trying to get at is, I think what they need to try to do is they need to start pushing more, marketing more for these players, right? Because one, you know, like, let's compare, like, look.
But, like, is that just marketing based on that, hey, you should do this out of good?
No, or what I'm saying is, like, so for example,
if the end person doesn't, if the product doesn't appeal to the end person, then those marketing dollars waste money, though, right?
I'll give you a perfect example here. So let's talk about the NHL. NHL, they market towards who? Mostly Caucasian males, right? Canadians push
beer drinkers,
right? If you have a hockey team in your city and they're doing well, yeah, you're gonna support them, right? Like, how, look at the contracts that these players get. A 1 year, they're getting 400, not even 400K, maybe 200K, right? For a 1 year. NBA 1 year is 3 mil.
Yeah.
Right? So
I think a little bit less than that, but
what?
It's over, it's like a close million.
Around there, yeah. So look at that. Like, for example, I'm pretty sure if you go to any place in North America, let's use us for example, we know where every NBA team is. Right?
Fair
bet.
It's
just because of how hard it's been pushed. Doesn't matter what team it is. It could be whatever. Whatever team. Memphis.
Grizzlies.
Right? We know where Memphis is. We know where, you know, Charlotte is. We know everything.
Bobcats.
But if you go to, let's say, you go to Oklahoma and you go, hey.
Thunder.
You go to Oklahoma and then you just talk about, hey, yeah, we have the Jets. They're like, what are you talking about? What Jets? Like, Winnipeg Jets? They're like, I don't know. I guarantee you talk to 10 people, one person out of that 10 is probably going to go, oh, I've heard of them. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Right? So it's just all marketing, really. It's just how you push every team in the NBA. Everyone knows. You go to Europe, everyone knows Europe. You in London, they put the two worst teams playing there, and that shit gets packed, right? In the O2 arena.
Well, I think what they've been missing.
They'll put Atlanta versus fucking Memphis, and people will go watch it just because it's an NBA game, right? If you go do that somewhere else, it'll be like, yeah, we're gonna put the Flames versus fucking the Jets somewhere outside North America. Are they actually going to watch it? Yeah, you'll get some fans, but you're not going to get it. Because it's just not, it's just the way that they market things. Marketing is the key, man. Like, if you're pushing these players, like, look how hard they push for Zion. This guy was a high school player. They pushed him hard. Duke, man, his shoe broke. Then Nike stocks dropped because of this guy. Then they made...
Yeah, but they didn't just pick him, though. He's...
But no, but you can
tell that he's going to explode on the scene. But,
and I think that's what the women's games have been missing, really,
that's
has been stars to push, right?
That's exactly what I'm getting
at. Even when the first WNBA started, when you had Lobo, when you had Cheryl, they had players, major players that they could push and kind of get that foothold. So what you're starting to see now, and I don't think it's going to work for every sport. Like you're saying basketball, if you go WNBA game or an NBA game, that's tough. It's even tough, though, when you compare college basketball to or NBA basketball, right? So it's tough to get viewers in that regard, except there's a huge market of girls and parents of these daughters that want to see that basketball right. being played that they can relate to, right? Yeah. So that's the way to do it, is push these stars. Now that you have the U.S. team and a girl like Rubino out here being outspoken, being vocal, that's how you push it. And I think when you start to look at the gap for, if you start to look at soccer as a whole, what they always market soccer as is the beautiful game, right? Where it's beautiful pass. It's not so much one-on-one, beating your guy one-on-one, but the whole development of a play from front to back. That you can see a lot more of and illustrate in female soccer. Male soccer doesn't really matter. It's the composition of that team. And now that they start to have a little bit more attitude and a little bit more stars, now that's what you really need to be marketing. I think the best thing they ever did, even though it was a jackass move, was celebrate all 13 of those goals and be in that conversation, right? Like now they were like, oh, well, these guys are the bad guys of the tournament. Why are they guys doing this? They got no respect, but it's still a conversation. Like the whole no press is bad press. Now at least we got a conversation about it and we're still talking about it after they won the World Cup.
Like imagine if they start grooming, like let's say there's a phenom, you know, high school women's player. She's just killing it.
Well, right? Before you keep going in this aspect, sorry. Like, this has been, you know, like a Serena Williams or, like, that's... See,
that's perfect.
You know, that's been done in tennis. Like, that's looked at as one of the best and very marketable, et cetera, right?
100%, yeah. Venus, the sisters, man, they grew up. They've seen them grow up, right, to what they are now. And that's huge. Look at her, man. She's one of the top paid athletes in the world, right?
So but even then, there's still discrepancies in a lot of those tournaments about what the men make and what the females make.
No, don't get me wrong. Like, again, like, I'm pretty sure when she plays, that's the only time fucking tennis, you know, makes ratings. Or when that, I forget her name, that 15-year-old girl who's like...
Who just beat Venus or whatever.
Venus and then went whatever. All legit. Yeah.
I think her name's Coco something.
Yeah, something along those lines. Yeah, so like... But I mean, like, imagine if they had a girl in high school who just became a phenom and, you know, you always got ESPN. They're always showing, like, what's next for her. She's going to go play for Baylor. Like, the thing with that is, like, any girl who wants to play basketball will go to, like, Oregon or they'll go to, like, UConn. Like, those teams, because that's all they do is win, right? So imagine if they start...
DJ Khaled.
Imagine if they start pushing and be like, hey, come play for me at this... college, and then now you're gonna have all these stars playing, and then you're grooming them for the WNBA, and then people are getting excited. Oh man, I can't wait to go see her play. Don't get me wrong, again, it's not gonna be the same level, but you can't look at it that way. It's an elite level for women's basketball, and I think once we start pushing and putting more eyes on that sport, things will start growing. And without doing that, we're just skipping the beat. Like, we're just... To them, it's more when the tournament happens and, oh, you know, she scored 60 points this game and now she's kind of the talk of the town and that's it. It's like, look at that, like a few years ago, that girl, I forget her name, but she was like pitching for the like Little League World Series.
Oh yeah,
right. She was pitching, and she was on talk shows, hyped. Everyone's hyping her up. But now, what does she do after that? She can't. Is there a Major League Baseball for women? Is it being televised? Is it, you know what I mean? Like, is what's next, right? So I think the U.S., as they fund so much money into men's sport, they need to realize, hey, we need to find the next step for women to kind of boost and go from there, right? Like, there's women's hockey, you know, is it being televised as much? Not really, but what are we doing? Like, what are we doing to get to that next step for them, right? As we're focusing so much more on men's stuff, even though, you know, like,
men. But do you understand my argument in terms of that why there's a focus on that?
No, I know why, what you're saying. Athleticism.
Because the product coming out, I don't think anyone can deny, is a higher quality product. So in sport,
but I think
there seems to be a reason why there's a discrepancy.
But I think you need
but
to.
But the marketing also helps. Don't get me wrong.
But I think what you're trying to say is just men's athletes are just, it's just more entertaining. But I think we need to kind of label it as elite level of women's sports compared to, okay, these guys can do windmills and, you know, behind the back and stuff. Yeah, like that's what it is. But I mean, like, I think we need to start really appreciating elite level of women's sports.
Everyone,
right?
appreciates if you're playing the WNBA, like that's amazing. That's the highest you've ever been.
And I think we don't do that as human beings in general, right?
It's just, if we do that though, is there that next, is there that step to where it can become 50-50 if the product is clearly so much better? That's what I'm saying.
Like, I'll tell you something right now. Women's soccer is way better than men's soccer. Men's soccer, everyone, they flop no tomorrow. Doesn't matter what they get hit. Women's soccer, you fucking get hit. If you actually get hit, you'll go down. But it's not like that, right? Men's soccer, guys touch them in the back, they fucking think they got shot in the back with a shotgun, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, women's soccer is way better. Don't get me wrong. The game is a lot tighter. But at the same time, when it comes to, like, you know, the finesse of it, that's where things people kind of lean towards. It's just the finesse and how much skill happens, right? Women's soccer is more team-based. Guys' soccer is more individually what these guys can do or create. And I think that's the blind spot that we kind of get. We kind of get lured into that, right?
Now, the only problem here, especially in North America, is nobody watches soccer.
Speak for yourself.
Hate him or love him?
I actually really like that song.
Yeah, it's not bad.
With the
it's
game?
Not bad. It's got a nice little, it has a summer vibe to it, to tell you the truth. That beat?
You know what's a sick song? I Got Money. Have you ever played that recently?
Crazy.
I Get Money. That's sick.
What the fuck did that? Where the fuck? What the fuck was that?
That's how it sounds.
Maybe I'm thinking of Triple H as the game.
That's funny.
Last episode we talked, what's going on?
So what happened was.
So hold on. Do you remember what you said before? I believed that he was going to stay with the Raptors.
I thought he was going to the Lakers.
You thought he was going to the Lakers? Yeah. Bell?
You thought he was going to the Lakers too. No one thought the Clippers.
No one called the Clippers. Yeah. No one called, like,
you know, called
anywhere else besides
Kawhi Leonard.
Besides Toronto. Toronto, it looked like, I couldn't understand how he couldn't go back and defend it. I don't understand how he couldn't go back and defend it.
What do you mean, man? I told you this already today. The reason he couldn't go back and defend it is because he didn't have anyone, man. I think what he realized was, because he got forced to go there, I think what he realized in season one was, sure, they won the championship, but you have to look at all the things leading up to them winning the championship. There's a couple lucky things went their way, couple injuries went their way, and I think he's a smart enough guy to see that you could run it back. Don't get me wrong, definitely Eastern Conference Finals, definitely deep playoff run, but I think he's smart enough to know that if he has to shoulder that load again, that they're not getting there. And those dominoes aren't falling his way. So he was either saying he's going to the Lakers, or if he can get a second guy, he's going to the Clippers. I think that's why he's not going back, because he doesn't. He's not just, oh, I'm gonna go do it all myself. He's still a smart guy, man. You know what I mean? Like, he goes there, you're most likely gonna lose next year.
Then what about the rumor that was swirling around there, where if they got Westbrook and Paul George, do you think he would have signed with Toronto?
Oh yeah, 100%. That was a very far fetched. Apparently, that wasn't very, because they wanted 6-7 picks from Toronto. That wasn't realistic.
So you think it was just he's going for championships. You think he's motivated by the championships?
Oh yeah, definitely. But it also happens to be that Toronto isn't California, so that's another thing, right?
3 years, $103 million. What are your guys' thoughts on that contract?
Smart.
Third year player option.
I thought it was a very smart contract because it puts him at the 10 years.
Yeah,
he's in the league for 10 years, and he's the super max with any team he's with at that point. Right. And he's going to be what, 30? Guaranteed, he's getting an extension right away.
Right.
So I think he played it smart. Plus, he played it fluid. He can move where he wants. But when the news dropped, though, I was juiced, man. I was at
somebody called
that was
me. Right?
I called you like four.
He was
times.
On the horn like crazy, so, bro.
Yeah, how many times did you call me? Like six.
So when it dropped,
try to wake you up.
I like started calling you, right? Because I was gonna start trolling your ass. At first, I was.
Why would you troll me?
Because OKC fell apart.
Paul George, right? I was like, yo, guess what just happened? Think about if I broke that news to you, you'd fucking freak out, man.
I probably wouldn't have slept.
So I called you a bunch of times.
Yeah.
You didn't pick up. I called your wife too, to try to get to you, right?
She was still in the club.
She didn't pick up either, right? And I'm like, fuck, no one's picking up, right? I need to tell someone this news. And so I call Bell, and he picks up, and this guy was just awake. I don't know. It was like 1:30. He's just awake, right? And he's like, hey, yo, what's going on, man? I was like, Paul George just got traded to the Clippers, and Kawhi Leonard signing there. He's like, shut the fuck up. I didn't get that message, or I didn't see that.
Yeah, I didn't see the alert.
And then he was like, oh my goodness. And this guy started tripping out and shit too. So it was a big, I looked at my phone. My eyes were focusing on the notification, but I was just drunk. And I looked back and I'm like, this has to be a typo. Because why the fuck did it say Paul George Clippers? What, like.
That was the crazy part of it.
Did they say it wrong or something? And I keep looking. And he's fucking on the Clippers, man.
Man, when you called me at first, I was like, what the fuck? B's called me at like 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning. Like, what the hell's going on? It's like halfway down the stairs looking for my baseball bat. I didn't know what was going on. I thought you might have been in some trouble or something.
So funny story, that morning when I was half asleep, waking up, and I see you guys like messaging.
So why didn't you wake up?
I was on mute. Oh. My phone was on mute. So I was reading it. I was just kind of brief reading it. So I was like, okay, blah, 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 blah. And then I looked at my phone and I showed like breaking news. All I said was, like, it was blurry for me. It said OKC Kawhi Leonard. I was like, yo, did we just get Kawhi Leonard? And I was tripping out because you're like, oh my God, as if Kawhi did that. Kawhi's there. And I was like, yo, this guy went to OKC, Westbrook, Paul George, and I was looking at it. It was like, Paul George to the Clippers. I was like, what just happened here, man? Like, but to break that down, like, I think one of the big things is, like, again, you know, his thigh is always going to be the big issue, right? 60 games with the Raptors last year. Playoffs, you can tell he was wobbling. He wasn't 100%. He was grinding it through. Paul George, 2 rotator cuff surgeries. Who knows? He's going to be out for the first month of the NBA season. So he's not going to start until...
He's out?
Yeah, he's going to be out for the first month. So month starts, what, October? So he's not going to start until... You know, November, December.
Yeah,
right?
He won't be back to full form till like
full
the new
form
year.
Then, so it's tough, man. Like, you know, when you see these signings of all these players coming in, you know, like LeBron and Anthony Davis. Okay, you know, you thought, what are they going to put the pieces together? Boogie Cousins, solid. You know, still a good player, but I think he's not.
Well, he's still a wait and see, right?
He's not. Who knows what could happen? He could get hurt the same thing, and he won't play for, you know, until March again, right? So who knows? But I think one of the big things a lot of people are missing is how big of an impact Denver's improved quietly. Solid team overall. They just picked up Jeremy Grant while the Thunder got their 100th draft pick. And I think Utah, in the end, this is what I really think in the end. I think Utah is going to be one. I think Denver is going to be two.
You think Utah will win the most games in the West?
Yes. I think they're going to win the most games in the NBA. And I think Denver's going to be two again. I think three is going to be the Clippers. Four will be the Lakers. And then, there's probably 10 teams on the West that could be out.
Houston, you think Houston is taking some major steps back here?
Well, they haven't improved.
They haven't improved, but they've been, one or two for the last couple of years?
Yeah, but it's tough, man. Like,
I think in the East, there's going to be a lot of teams there's going to be two or three teams that make the playoffs at 500 or
that
under,
don't deserve it.
Or under.
But one of the big things that they threw this year, I think that's going to affect Houston, is that challenge, the coach's challenge that they have now. I don't know if you guys are familiar with this. So now you can challenge, any plays. You can't challenge a goaltending if it's goaltend call or, things like that. But I think this goes against Harden because he gets away with a lot of fouls that sometimes, they're not even fouls. And, they can challenge that. And that could literally make or break.
I don't look into it. How many can you challenge and shit?
I think it's one. So you have to call a timeout and then you can challenge it. And go ahead.
Yeah, if you're right, then you get your timeout back. And if not, then you're charged the timeout.
You're charged the timeout.
And it has to be a called foul, too. You can't just be like, oh, that was a foul, and they go back, and then they call it. Right. It has to be called, and then you can reverse it.
Right.
So that might not really come into favor, but at the end of games, it could.
I think that's good. I think end of the day, it might come to it. Because.
And I think it goes the other way, too. I think you can, if it's called a foul, you can challenge it.
That's the only time you can challenge it, as far as I know. You can't. A player can't go up and they get fouled and the ref doesn't call it and then you challenge it and then it becomes a foul. It can only get a foul can only get reversed back to a non-call, as far as I know.
Yeah.
So the ref has to call a foul on the floor.
Right.
And your only positive outcome is that you get the call reversed to a non-foul and it's your ball.
And I think that in the end, I think that might have a big impact on Houston itself. So Houston will still make the playoffs. Don't get me wrong. That Chris Paul, I don't think he's going to be there for long. His contract is so hard to swallow. Him, Westbrook, and John Wall probably have the three worst contracts.
I don't think Russell Westbrook contract's bad.
Bro, it's really bad. 35 mil right now. In the end, when he's 34 years old, he's going to have $47 million.
That's true, but think about the time they gave it to him. No one said it was the worst thing ever.
No, right? But I mean, I think media is kind of pushing hate
the
on
narrative
him.
Too, yeah.
Yeah, so, but, like, he just got a triple-double this year, last
year. That's legit half the salary cap.
Well, they're worried about is the way he's going to age, right? Right now, it's not bad. If he could shoot better, it's not bad. But the way he plays and so aggressive and always driving that hard... Like, that's going to be wear and tear. It's going to be how he ages. Because he's probably not even going to age as gracefully as, Dwayne Wade. And even he had a decline off that cliff when he started to get older, right?
Well, so we'll see what happens, right? But I think people are knocking down the Warriors. I think the Warriors still have a really good chance, even though they got rid of Iguodala, Livingston. But they need to realize, one, you have Steph Curry, who's two-time MVP, right, I believe? And now you have D'Angelo Russell, still a good player. You still have Draymond Green. And, so they can do some damage. They're going to make the playoffs. I think they're not going to be the top seed, but they'll probably, be around the 6th, 7th seed. And then, you still have Portland. Portland picked up some solid players. They got Whiteside and, all these other guys from...
It's going to be I can't fucking wait till it's like October nights. Yeah. Nice. Come home, chill, NBA's on.
Well, that's what was crazy about free agency, right? It completely reconstructed what the NBA looks like.
Yeah.
So if he went to the Lakers, then you're like, okay, super team again. Now everything's wide open.
So I'm actually going to go to Raptors a home opener. I'm going
to
do it.
I want to go to a Lakers Clippers.
I just want to see that banner raised. That's all I want to see.
Lakers Clippers would be amazing, man.
You think that's, yeah.
That would be crazy. The the first one when they first play each other. I think that would be crazy.
But the Clippers, think about this, man. LeBron asks for a screen. It's Kawhi guarding LeBron. You ask for a screen, then it's Paul George. Ask for another screen. It's Patrick Beverly. You know what I mean?
Beverly.
Look at the career average. Look at LeBron's career average against those two, man.
What's crazy about that, though, is you go, like you say you want to go to that game. You don't know if you'll ever see all four of those guys playing on the floor or any given night. Who's on load management that night? Could be AD, could be out. It could be Kawhi taking the night off.
Ain't no load management once Adam Silver makes that call.
PG could be gone.
Adam Silver's making that call, man.
This league is going to look crazy. If they don't shorten the league in a few years, it's going to be nuts because there's going to be so many superstars taking breaks, man. After, like I said, Kawhi playing, what you said, 60 games?
I'm against and winning it in the league.
You're against it with that tournament in the middle?
I'm against
it. I like the idea of that tournament in the middle. We talked about this.
I'm against it.
Yeah, you shorten that league, shorten the games, give me that tournament in the middle.
I'm against it.
Yeah, buddy.
I'm against it, man.
And then
because
once someone gets injured, I fucking told you the fuck shouldn't have done the tournament.
No, I'm against that.
More people get injured playing 82.
You always have to do 82 because because
you can't match anything against anything.
Yeah, because these records and all these things, everything's been 82 for so many years, over 50 years, man.
Now times change, man. But you're gonna used to have a three-point line. You want to get rid of the three-point line now?
No, yeah. But that was that was before the 80s, man.
Bro, think about this. They never had a three-point line, but yet no one can beat the top scorer of all time still. Think about that for a second.
Well, yeah, because he's fucking, there's no three in the key, man.
No, there's no three in the key, man. You're telling me
when Kareem was playing, there was no three in the key,
dude. You're talking about Wilt Chamberlain.
What do you mean?
They created the three in the key because of Wilt Chamberlain. Not Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
All I'm saying is when Kareem was scoring his points, there was no three in the key.
Yes, there was.
No, he grabbed it, dunked it. It was a bunch of... It was a bunch of...
No.
Fucking 6-foot white guys that were guarding him. He was skyhooking
it. Kareem didn't play that old, man. Kareem played when there was Oscar Robinson and those guys.
Who's Oscar Robinson, man?
What?
It's Robertson, man.
Whatever, man.
Oscar Robinson.
And that's how you end the talk about NBA free agency going back to fucking Kareem and Oscar, man.
Let me end it with Kyle Lowry, man.
Just totally disrespect Kareem, man. This guy just scored all his points and fucking has no three in the key, man. But there actually was no three in the key when he was playing it.
There was.
It's been a minute, but Thirstwell's back with Minority Power Ranking.
Very minority.
But it's not just visual minorities. It's any minorities, any people that are on the outskirts. You have a chance to be on the power ranking. So we're going to start it off with number 5. Coming off a World Cup victory, she just said this to the president. Your message is excluding people. You're excluding me. You're excluding people that look like me. You're excluding people of color. You're excluding Americans that may support you. We're looking right at Trump. She said that. Megan Rapinoe, number 5 on the Minority Power Rankings.
Drum roll. Number 4 on the Legendary Power Rankings is a man who had us thinking one way, the other way. Which way are we going to go? Everyone, every sports agent, anyone who thought they knew fucking anything about basketball couldn't guess what he was going to do. It's Kawhi Leonard. Caught the basketball world by surprise. No one could have called it. Probably the biggest Woj bomb ever dropped at that time. And I think he just shifted, honestly, everything. It was a year. It was a year of Kawhi. You know, happy July, happy Kawhi. It's all the same thing. He's number 4, man.
He shifted you very deeply.
He's number 4. Crazy thing is, we don't even hate him for fucking leaving. We never said one time, fuck you, Kawhi.
I kind of do.
No, man, why?
It's not necessarily hate. It's disappointment, man. You got to come back. As an athlete, I want you to come back, and I want you to go for it again.
Anyone left?
You asked me, so I'm going to tell you. Yeah. And then the other reason is, if he had stayed, then Toronto actually becomes a team that may become a destination place. Right now, we're back into that whole rebuild and what's going to happen phase. That's why.
He never lied to the fans. He said he never wanted to go.
I never called him a liar.
No, I'm just saying he never lied to the fans. Everyone just had... they just had hope because they thought winning would just do everything.
Well, that's the thing. Deep down, I don't think anyone thought he was coming back, but everyone hoped it.
Honestly, I think this is my theory. If he doesn't, if he has 2 years, if he doesn't win, I think he's going to go back to the Raptors.
Okay, who's number three?
Number three on the minority power rankings is a young lady that made some big, big news in the press. I'm talking about Halima Aden. She was the first person, first Muslim to be featured in Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition. And she was in there in what they term, I guess, a burkini, which is like a cross between a burqa and a bathing suit, pretty much like a bodysuit. She was in there. And this happened a couple months ago and kind of went to the back burner. But I was at the mall the other day, and there was some young ladies talking about it and went in wondering where they could find a burkini themselves if they had anything in the mall. So I thought that was
Why were you eavesdropping on their conversation?
I was just sitting at the food court, man. Kids are loud nowadays, man.
Kids?
That's crazy, this guy.
Hey, anyone under 30 is a kid to me.
That's actually really true. DeBell, like that's
yeah.
That shows that's gotta tell the listeners that he's in that 60 age range.
OG, man, an OG.
He's ladies and gentlemen, he's getting cataract surgery next week. Just throwing that out there. What do we got?
Number two, Nick, hit us with number two on the power rankings.
Number two, we got ASAP Rocky. If you guys don't know the story, ASAP Rocky was in Sweden, and there's these two group. They're not two groups. There were two guys that were kind of slapping girls' asses while walking around the streets, and I guess they were trying to get ASAP his attention, and he didn't appreciate it, so he kind of beat them up. Him and his boys, and this guy got arrested for that. So he can have 6 years of jail in Sweden, and they're trying to, people in the U.S. are trying to do a petition. It seems like such a U.S. thing to do a petition, eh? But they're trying to bring him back just because of the situation. Everyone thinks what he did was right. A lot of people are
Do we know for sure this is what happened, or is it like speculation?
Yeah, no, this is exactly what happened. And so the huge the black communities, you know, trying to do whatever it takes to bring ASAP Rocky back. Maybe they need Kim Kardashian to use that lawyer license, man.
Number one on the minority power rankings this week. I'm going to be interested to hear your opinions about this young gentleman. So Aziz Ansari has a new special out on Netflix. And the way that it starts is with him addressing some of the history he's had in the past. And throughout it, he kind of goes the route of Dave Chappelle's last special, where he's very introspective and he's giving his thoughts on things about how people change over the years. Even at one point, he has the crowd stop for a minute and start to reflect on how often they visit their parents, how often they spend time, I guess, living in the actual moment. Like, he got very deep and personal.
This is a comedy?
This is a comedy special, right? So
I won't watch it.
He's introducing, or he's having this, he's introducing this conversation that's to be had. Is it the right time? Is it the right place? I don't know. I'm interested to hear your thoughts on something along that. Did he have to address, like, his run-in with, I guess, like, the whole Me Too situation there that he kind of got involved with last year?
He didn't have to do it on a special, but I guess he thought that was the right place to do it. Was it funny or was it just serious?
It had its moments.
No,
it was
like what he was talking about. Was it?
Oh, like when he was doing that? No, it was like, no, it wasn't.
So you just hated it basically. Is what you're saying.
What he did? No, I appreciated him doing the conversation piece of it, right? I mean, he had kind of a couple things that were kind of tongue-in-cheek. Like, one of those jokes was like, everyone knows why I was in trouble like last week, right? Like, and people kind of laughed or whatever. But, and then he went on to it. So, I mean, it was more of a serious tone to what he was saying. Besides from that, some of the moments I felt were kind of like heartfelt, and you could tell that he was being genuine with his moments, like especially when he was talking about how little time you have left to spend with your parents in certain situations and whatnot.
He could have done this a different way. You don't have to do this on a special. Again, he did address everything. Great, you know, but at the same time, when you're trying to do a special, you want people to remember what your whole entire set was, you know, people can go back to the Eddie Murphy days of, you know, people going to Delirious and Raw, and they could watch that over and over and over again because they just love it. Or Kevin Hart's, you know, old stuff, and they can just go back to it and love it. And I think that's sometimes a lot of people are forgetting of when you want to do a special, you want people to remember and go back and watch as many times as you can, not just, oh, okay, it's a one-time deal and then that's it. You know what I mean? Good for him, but you're doing that on your special. I think that's, I don't know. I lost interest now. Now that you told me that, I probably won't watch.
Well, the other thing that made it tough to watch, and I'm not going to lie about it, is they did it, I think Spike Jonze, you know, pretty popular director, he did it in a very like gritty, real world type, almost like handheld camera type look to it, which I completely hated as far as like what you're saying, as far as it being a special. I kind of want that glitz and glamour and I want that cleaned up image look. But it was, it was very gritty and shot almost like a Blair Witch style, which, I didn't appreciate for a comedy special, especially.
So what was the main thing that you got out of that to put him number one on the list?
The main reason why I put him number one on the list, and he said a few things that I really found interesting. Like I said, just being in present, living in the moment, he came across as very genuine. Netflix has this special out there. It's going to be viewed by millions of people because he's still a hot topic, still a hot performer. So tons of people are going to see it. And some of the other stuff that he put into it that it's going to start a conversation with people where it's not just going to be like, oh, did you see the special? What do you think about this joke? It's going to be like I just said, do you think Aziz needed to do this or that? What do you think about what he said about only seeing your parents two or three times?
So it's not just, oh, was it funny or not?
There's no, more. Exactly. He's taking the conversation past comedy. And it gets interesting to see, is that really something you should be doing? It didn't come across as a comedy special, more as kind of him having a conversation with the audience and I guess the bigger audience of outside of just people there at that night, but also people and his fans in general.
Well, sorry I laughed in your face.
But this is supposed to be a comedy special. Is that what it's labeled?
That's what it's labeled.
Okay.
Right?
So basically, it's not a comedy special.
So you're just saying, like, there's no place to bury your soul, or that's not the place to bury your soul. Well, that's the platform he has, right?
Well, if I'm saying, hey, I'm starring in this action movie, and it's, like, it's just a musical.
This action movie. Okay.
People are going to go, well, where's the action? Like, what do you mean? Like, I'm doing it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I mean, he still had jokes. He took a few minutes. It wasn't the whole theme of it, you know?
They shouldn't call it a comedy then. From what you're telling me, again, I haven't watched it. What you're telling me is it's not a comedy special. It's just him trying to air out his whatever situation he had. I saw Mike Epps' comedy special.
And what did you think of that?
He's one of those guys where he is aged. He's not one of those. That's the thing with comedy. If you're not, it's like, look at Kevin Hart. I think they're the same age, him and Kevin Hart. Kevin Hart's still relevant with what's going on, right? Instagram and all that stuff. I think Mike Epps, he's leading more towards the older generation. And I think that's going to hurt him because end of the day, you always want kids to remember you, not elderly people, realistically, right? It's one of those things where, you know, if someone says, hey, did you watch the new Kevin Hart special? You can go to any 15 to 18 year old. Yeah, I saw Kevin Hart. That shit was funny. If you go, hey, did you go see Mike Epps? No. You know, why would I want to see Mike Epps?
He's gotten to the point where he's a better comedic actor than he is comedian. I couldn't get through more than, I think, 15 minutes of that, man. It was brutal.
He's had one special where it was just fucking really funny. Like, it made me laugh, but his stuff is...
It's dated.
It's very dated now, yeah. That's the best way you can say
I'm surprised Bell is you're not his biggest fan, man.
Yeah, as a six-year-old himself, I thought you would relate to
him. Hey, man, I still keep my keep my finger on the pulse here. That's why we got the young millennial kids like you in here, man, getting ready for university.
I think Netflix. I think
you got all your school supplies, B. Did you get all those?
I think Netflix kind of ruined the whole special, saying there's a comedy special. Because if you look at it, man, there's probably like over like 100 comedy.
Why is everything on Netflix a Netflix original now?
Yeah, everything's original.
I pull that shit up. Like, I watch Netflix, don't get me wrong, but this might, I don't know how much you guys watch, but I might watch one thing on Netflix every week, maybe every 2 weeks, honestly. I barely open it. I pay for it. But every time I open it, everything's a fucking Netflix original, man. Yeah. Like, what's, does Netflix just make everything now?
Or? Well, that's their plan, because then they don't have to pay.
They don't owe any,
yeah, right? Like, but everything's in-house, that whole vertical integration model, right?
Look how much they owe to pay for Friends. It's like 200 mil, fuck.
Yeah, that's true, definitely. But I feel like as a creator or like someone who's housing the best content, you would want, you know, your platform's only better if you have the best things, right? So if you just think you're the only one that's the best in movies, you can't. That's a stupid way to think, I think.
Yeah, but it was easier before, but now all these other companies, right, are making their own streaming platforms. So the cost for them to lend their material to someone else is going to go up, or they're just not going to do it. That was the whole thing with Marvel, right? Like, they got to the point where it's, okay, we're just going to make our own Marvel shows instead of giving them to you. Like, why would Netflix want to pay half of what to make this Marvel show, and then you're just going to end up taking it to your own streaming platform using it to promote it?
There's a new streaming platform. Guess who's making it?
Disney.
You'll never guess.
HBO.
7-Eleven.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
It's fucking crazy, man. It's just like the old days. Like, when you come in, you basically pick a movie on there, and you download it right away, and you get a voucher for it. And it's automatically on your account. I don't know how the fuck shit's going to work, but...
That's crazy.
I'm fucking joking.
What's up?
They're not, they're not doing anything. I'm fucking joking.
Fuck.
What's up?
That sounded so fucked.
What's a hidden show?
Nick's like, yo, this is sick.
I kind of cut you off, but what's a hidden show that you guys, like, well, what's your go-to show that you guys wouldn't think you'd be so into?
Didn't think I'd be so into?
Any platform.
I got. I'll give you two of them. Two of them that I.
Well, I asked for one.
We're talking Canadian shows. You remember back in the day, man, you would never even dare try to watch a Canadian show just because it was like production so crappy. Yep. Like the writing was even like second par. But I really like Kim's Convenience and Schitt's Creek. I was surprised that I was going to like Schitt's Creek, but no, it's
I've never heard of
those.
It's
pretty funny, man. That's Eugene Levy and his son do that.
Sure, you're not talking about Dawson's Creek?
No, I remember all those ones. Shout out to Pacey.
B, what about you?
Fuck, you know I can't answer shit like this. I can't do this off the top of my head.
You guys ever watch Jack Ryan?
No, but I remember you
fucking watch it, man.
Yeah, I remember you saying it was pretty solid.
I'm starting watching again just because I think season 2 is coming. Watch it, man. It's the best fucking show you'll ever see.
See, that's one of the things I don't do, though. I don't watch any of the Amazon shows. Like, and I hear there's a few of them that are pretty good.
Yeah,
like,
there's some solid ones.
American Gods is supposed to be decent, too, or whatever.
2.0's in there. Like, have you seen that movie, 2.0?
Oh, I don't even know what that is.
Robot, man. Have you seen that Indian movie called Robot?
No.
Oh, fuck, you're missing out on gold, man.
I'll put that on the list.
Yeah, I gotta use my Amazon for video.
Everyone, watch the movie Robot. And then after that, watch this movie called 2.0. It's a sequel. It's the craziest movie you'll ever see. It's just brown guys understanding how CGI works and just amplifying it by 3,000%, man. It's crazy.
Any cool HBO shows you guys are watching?
HBO?
No. I actually started watching it's a really good show called Ballers. No, I'm kidding. I started watching Sopranos, actually.
Oh, you're going back in?
Yeah. I picked it up again. It's
I thought you watched that already.
I did, but I watched, like, you know, when you just go through it once and you're just I think now I'm gonna appreciate it more. So I like it. I'm going through Sopranos. I have Crave TV and so it has like HBO stars and all that stuff. So it's pretty solid, like. But yeah, and then I watched Brendan Schwab's stand up. He's like a MMA fighter.
Okay.
He's with Joe Rogan. Yeah, that's all I'm going to say about that.
Sounds like a winner. So to recap the minority power ranking, at number 5, we had Megan Rapinoe. At number 4, Kawhi Leonard. At number 3, we had Halima Aden. At number 2, ASAP Rocky. And at number 1, we had Aziz Ansari.
Shout out to Jason Aldean.
Jason Aldean?
Jason Aldean.
What's he do? What's he all about?
So myself and B here, we went to Dolphin to Country Fest. Amazing. And this guy wanted to see this one dude because he saw shirts. I don't know what it was. He just kept on talking about this one guy all weekend. And he's like, we have to go. We have to go. I was like, all right. So we end up going, and it was the most craziest show I've ever seen. So shout out to him. And while we were driving back to Winnipeg, we're just bumping Jason all night, man. All day. Yeah. It was good.
And since you got back, how many times have you just put on the Emerald Sky and just been drifted off, man?
Oh, I'll never put it on again.
You'll never put it on again?
No, I'm just kidding. I would listen to it. It's actually not too bad.
Amaretto Sky?
Amaretto Sky.
And just drift away?
Drift away. You know what else is, you know what else is a good album? Nothing to do with country. Freddie Gibbs, man. That's a sick album.
That's the album's dope. Yeah,
amazing. You should listen to it. It suits your taste.
Old school?
A little bit, yeah. Yeah, it's good.
He's like 60-year-old.
This motherfucker over here, man. Motherfucking kids.
Thanks for listening to the Thirst World Problems Podcast. For more exclusive content, follow us on Instagram @ThirstWorldPod. Make sure to subscribe, like, and share.